The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
Now, Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball with me on the line from Paris, of course. And Ger, Mona McSherry, obviously the big story right across all the papers today. And I have to say, one of the things that struck me watching the swimming last night and over the last couple of nights, and I'm sure it will strike me tonight as well, and everybody watching Daniel Whiffen, which we'll talk about in a moment, is the atmosphere inside the swimming arena, the La Défense arena. It looks incredible. You've been in there. What's it like?
Well, I was slightly late the first night I was there. I just got there in time to watch the first race, which was Léon Marchand, who is the local French favourite, and he won by 7 or 8 seconds, winning the 400 metres individual medley, and it was class. It was 17,000 mad French people cheering on. Every time his head would pop out of the water, they would go, like, and it was just, spine-tingling, all that kind of stuff. But because I was in plenty of time for Mona last night, the build-up to it, for half an hour beforehand, they had this light show, which is as good as the light show at the end of the opening ceremony. They make the water vibrate. A harpist comes out and plays the harp, and then the water starts to vibrate, and then they manage to project swimmers underneath in the water. And it's like, I didn't know you could do this. The technology is mind-boggling. It feels like we're living in 50 years' time where they actually make the water dance. And it is insane. So everybody is up to very high dough. And then in the swimming, the way it works is final, two semis to allow a little bit of everybody off. And then final. So gold medals getting given out all the time. People in tears of celebration and people beside them in tears of devastation. And yeah, it's just absolutely amazing. And this is in a rugby stadium. This is where Taylor Swift played when she played Paris. And they've managed to just transform it by building a brand new swimming pool that is really stunning to look at.
I was watching you talking to Mona McSherry's parents and everything. There's so many aspects of this story, I think, that help it resonate. And you know, one of them, I think, is just the time zones. It's one of the things that makes an Olympics is that the casual fan will watch. The amount of casual fans who would have seen Mona McSherry swim last night, who never in a million years would they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch her swim. And that makes a huge difference to a sport.
I couldn't agree more. I think that's really important. And that's why I would encourage anybody, there's definitely tickets available for loads of stuff. The flights to Paris, not that difficult to get to. Fly to London and get the Eurostar if you want to make an extra day of it. Like, get on board because it's going to be gone. I don't know what day of the week it is now, but Sunday week it's over. Closing ceremony will be on at Stade de France. And everybody will have, I'm definitely going to get into it next time. But it's in California the next time. And then after that, it's in Melbourne. And then after that, it'll be somewhere else. And then maybe we might get London in 16 years again, by which stage we'll all be too old to enjoy it.
Says you. Yeah, but listen, you're right. I know a few people over there, and like that, they're picking up tickets all the time to stuff. You know, they were frantically entering lottery 6 months ago, and now that it's rolled around, you know, people have handed them back, or they're not going, or other stuff has come up, or they bought too many tickets, and they're floating around. If people can go, do go. We'll talk about kind of Daniel Whiffen in a moment, the other great hope in the pool swimming tonight, but you were at the rowing as well this morning. How did that go?
Yeah, we are very good at rowing. I think so. The Dutch in the doubles, which this isn't the Paula Donovan pair, that final I think is on Thursday, and then the final that Philip Doyle and his partner rode into this morning is up against this Dutch pair who all week we've been told, and for the last 5 or 6 months we've been told, they're invincible. If the Dutch show up and they're in form, they're going to win. It's not even a question. And our boys had a slightly faster time than them this morning in the semi-finals. And all of a sudden, that's just a little bit of doubt in the minds of this Terminator-style Dutch rowing team who are like, hang on a second, we always beat the Irish, but all of a sudden, they're slightly faster than us in qualifying for the finals. And look, you don't want to, there's no guarantees. There's like a very split second between the first and the fifth teams in terms of qualification, but you would feel pretty happy about the fact that you're going in first and you're still an underdog. So you're in the best form and everybody thinks the Dutch are going to win. So you just would hope that something's going to be there. And again, the facilities are ridiculous. Now, one slight caveat to that is that the Des Orages are on their way, that thunderstorms are predicted for this evening, and a lot of stuff is going to be cancelled outdoors if the thunderstorms, if there's lightning in particular. The rowers are hardy books and they'll go ahead and everything largely. But I do think that there's a possibility that tomorrow's rowing could be cancelled and we'll have to wait and see. It's Dara Lynch and Philip Doyle is the pair. And they were home a second faster than everybody else, apart from the Dutch. They're just half a second faster than them, which is enough. A hundredth of a second was enough for Mona McSharry.
Yes.
To like kind of a sliding doors moment where you go from third to fifth in a split. Like we can't even register a hundredth of a second, but think about how life-changing that is. Every room she walks, the rest of her life.
It's amazing. Amazing. It was stressful to watch, but it was amazing. Sorry, just on the weather. I assume if there's thunderstorms tonight, the storm drains in Paris will fill up. They mix with the sewers and it all floods into the Seine, and there's no way on God's green earth the triathlon goes ahead tomorrow.
The E. coli. Well, what's going to happen is if the triathlon part of the Seine can't happen, it's no longer a triathlon. It's going to be a duathlon.
Oh.
So all the swimmers who are, you know, the ones who make up extra time on the swim, suddenly like, there goes my chance of a medal.
Yeah. I have to say, I think it's kind of mad that they, I know, the Olympics is so huge and there's such a scale of events that you can't have contingencies for everything. But this was high risk. It was so high risk they were dumping the mayor of Paris into the Seine a few weeks ago to convince people it was a good idea. Surely somebody sat around a meeting table at some point and said, should we have a backup somewhere?
Yeah, they really should. And like the water facilities that they have out at rowing are sensational. Now, maybe because it's on at the same time, you would say, okay. But with the rowing, for example, if they lose a semi-finals day, they just take your time from the heats and go, all right, sorry, no semi-finals, straight into the finals. So I guess there isn't that much room for contingency in a games, which is only 2.5 weeks long, really, 2 weeks. And we were talking about this morning, going, is there no point in actually extending this so that we do actually get the opportunity? I love the downhill canoe slalom stuff. I think it's sensational. But did everybody, maybe in Ireland, everybody got to watch Liam Jager yesterday? He really should be a name that everybody's more familiar with. He was one brush away from silver on the final of the poles and gets a 2 second penalty and drops to seventh.
Yeah.
But these sports really need that window. And I suppose that's the argument that the basketballers coming and everybody wants to watch LeBron. Or the tennis yesterday, I saw Novak Djokovic smash Rafa Nadal at Roland Garros, and I know it wasn't on TV really anywhere apart from the Eurovision app, the Eurosport app, but that was some of the best high quality sport you're ever going to see.
Yeah, we were talking to Mick yesterday about Jago. Yeah, it was just so unlucky, and if he's kicking himself for 4 years, that's the nature of these things. Daniel Whiffen tonight. So I mean, to the casual sports fan, again, who we talked about earlier watching it, I guess they're watching this more in expectation than hope, as opposed to maybe Mona's race last night. Is that fair?
Yeah, totally. In a way, right? This sounds churlish, because if whatever Daniel Whiffen wins, it's going to be his first Olympic medal if he wins one. And so it's going to be incredibly special for him. But in a way, Mona's achievement is almost better because of where she's come from. Whiffen is so spectacularly ahead of his rivals that I think in the 1500 is the one that we're penciling him in and maybe writing it in pen for gold. This, there is legitimately a competitor in the field tonight, and you'd have to be a little bit concerned about whether or not he's going to win gold. But that's the conversation we're having about this. Whereas we were hoping that Mona could improve on fifth in the World Championships. And you know, I was rereading the Nina Reardon piece, and it was he made the point that actually she was second and dropped to fifth at the very end in a chaotic finish to that event in Doha. So she was right there. It's just that something happened. She tired up, the lactic acid kicked in, whatever. And this time it didn't. This time she's the one benefiting from the split second blanket. That's not really going to be the case with Whiffen tonight. We should be calm, I think. It's such a long race. Like, they're swimming a lot, up, down, up, down, up, down, 20 times. These are long races.
This kind of sounds so obvious. It needs hardly be said. It's so exciting, isn't it?
I can't explain. Like, it's kind of like there's a World Cup happening every 15 minutes for these sports.
Brilliant. It is.
And the crowd are so into it because it's people from all around the world, and it's the person that they've been emotionally invested in finally getting the opportunity on a world stage, and it's all coming down to split seconds. Everything is coming down to split seconds everywhere. The rowing, the gymnastics, the boxing, like, this is going to make or break these athletes in so many different ways. And again, maybe we shouldn't invest so much in it. It's so difficult for them to recover from all that. But like, that's why we tune in the first place. Because stop watching Netflix for the next 10 days, everybody. Stop watching whatever it is. I think I said this to you last week. This is way better.
Oh, it is. It is. It's hugely exciting. Ger Gilroy, thanks a million, Ger. We'll talk to you again soon.
No worries. Take care.